Hey, everybody. One of the most censored panels ever done in the history of the United States Senate with Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He does a great job, and we have a conversation with him, and we go through the panel, the implications of it, and how you can help him. Also, the breaking news of Justice Breyer retiring from the Supreme Court. What are the implications of that? That and so much more. Email us your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, type in Charlie Kirk Show. Hit subscribe by hitting the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. If you were to get a serious diagnosis from a doctor and something that just doesn't feel right, what is kind of the practical wisdom that people would tell you? Go get a second opinion. If you were to get diagnosed by a doctor and they say, well, you only have 6 weeks to live, you'd say, yeah, I'd like to get another opinion. Or they say, you must undergo chemotherapy, you'll probably say, yeah, I'm going to go get another opinion. That's the old adage, two heads are better than one. Differences of opinion when it comes to medicine is nothing new. But instead, we had our entire public health portfolio, the entire approach to medicine, the entire approach to people's movements, to children's education, all designed around an allegedly incorruptible group of experts. Now, these experts had not actually been medical doctors. They actually hadn't been in situations at times to prescribe medication or deal with adverse events. These people are best described as shills of the pharmaceutical industry. From Fauci to Rochelle Walensky to Dr. Birx, all the way down to Francis Collins, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to make the public health authorities relevant. They got unprecedented television time. They had unquestioned and unchecked power. It was the independent regulatory agency's dream for any regulator or bureaucrat in government to have that much power. It was almost as if they were given the unilateral authority to go invade a country. We had not seen a marshaling of resources, a consolidation of authority to one subset of people since Dwight D. Eisenhower controlled the Allied forces of the invasion of Europe in Normandy, France, on D-Day. We've never seen anything close to it. However, it became increasingly clear, especially for shows like ours and many others, very early on, that we were designing society and making choices not based on the science, but instead based on the scientists that were appointed and given power. Fauci was given ability to shut down your child's school, to mandate vaccines, to propagandize the public. Fauci, of course, famously once said that masks did not work. Then he said you must be wearing a mask at all times. From the efficacy of vaccines to the new variants to the war on early treatments, the question always should have been, and it was, to be fair, for many of us, we were just suppressed and choked by some people in the Republican Party as well, but also by the tech giants and by the international censors. It's always been, are we going to get a second opinion? Well, Senator Ron Johnson, to his great credit, boldly, courageously, and quite honestly, unexpectedly for a lot of people, hosted this panel earlier this week. It got almost no media coverage, and we are going to dedicate this entire hour to covering what was talked about in that panel, to talk about the political significance of this, to celebrate and platform Ron Johnson for doing this, because this is rare. This is a guy who's in a battleground state running for re-election this November. He's going to have well-funded Democrat challengers. And what does Ron Johnson do? Does he run into the arms of the Winter Olympics Beijing Wuhan Chamber of Commerce? No. Ron Johnson instead hosts a panel with Dr. Malone, Dr. Pierre Corey, and many others saying, we Americans deserve a second opinion. In fact, I saw Ron Johnson go on television on Tucker Carlson's program recently and said, quote, hundreds of thousands of lives could have potentially been saved with early treatments. And I say, this is a Republican Party that's ready to win. Now, you might have not heard about this panel. You might have just saw pictures or clips. We believe you deserve a full review of what happened on the second opinion panel. Let's start with Cut 58. We have been telling people for quite some time, for anyone that will listen, and we get emails about it, freedom@charliekirk.com, about the inexplicable and horrific increase in miscarriages, cancer, and neurological disease. This has been happening at a rapid rate. No one wants to talk about it. The Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson lobby on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrats, have largely kept their mouth shut. Ron Johnson has been courageous enough to say, hey, what's going on here? And a witness walked us through that. Play Cut 58.
We have substantial data showing that we saw, for example, miscarriages increased by 300% over the five-year average, almost. We saw almost 300% increase in cancer over the five-year average. Cancer is not being talked about except for by Dr. Ryan Cole. Thank you, doctor. We saw, this one's amazing, neurological. So neurological issues which would affect our pilots, over 1,000% increase.
1,000% increase. And this correlates perfectly with the data we have been receiving, freedom@charliekirk.com, of people that are emailing us saying, Charlie, my father dropped dead, unexplained cancer, miscarriages, neurological disease. Now, is it because of the vaccine? We don't know. We are not making that argument. You might come to that conclusion. It could be. The vaccine adverse event reporting system surely suggests that. But it's good that at least a singular senator cares about this. By the way, Democrats out there that are keeping your mouth shut and don't care about this, your constituents are dying too. Cut 59, Dr. Peter McCullough compares U.S. hospitalization data to that around the world, and he makes the argument that vaccine has not decreased total mortality. Now, before I play Cut 59, remember, the director of the CDC or the director of public health, they have to care about the entire health of society, not just transmission of a particular virus. So if the death rate is going up, like it went up 40% in Indiana, ages 18 to 64, 40%, that's a failure of the public health authorities. Play Cut 59.
And this will come up. The CDC in the last few days said there's five more papers showing the vaccines, even with Omicron, are associated with the reduction in hospitalization. But it's only in U.S. hospitals, not in South Africa, not right. in Germany, not in Denmark, not in the U.K., and not in Israel. Americans should be asking the question, why are the vaccines only working against hospitalization, but they don't work against binary occurrence of the respiratory illness or reduced spread? And they don't reduce mortality.
These are questions that we deserve answers to. Now, coming up in a couple minutes, we have Senator Ron Johnson to walk us through what happened in that panel and also some more sound. But also, we just received some breaking news that Supreme Court Justice Breyer is retiring at age 83. This is smart on the Democrat side. This is unexpectedly smart, actually. With Roe versus Wade looming to be repealed over the summer, the election coming up in November, they are pulling a McConnell and trying to use the Supreme Court as an ability to motivate the Democrat base going into November. I have to give them credit. This is smart. I think there's some opportunities for Republicans to capitalize on this. This is some breaking news in real time. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Iron Man thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the 3-week quick start too, discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. So Justice Breyer is retiring, opening a vacancy. So let's talk about what that means. So Mitch McConnell was wise back in January, February of 2016, when the wonderful, the amazing, the brilliant, the wise, the exceptional, and the 1-in-100-year talent of Justice Antonin Scalia passed away. And McConnell kept the seat open. You might remember there was a potential Merrick Garland, who is now the Attorney General of the United States, to go on the Supreme Court. This was a huge controversy. McConnell cited precedents saying that in an election year, presidential election year, you let the people choose. Now, the Democrats were really upset about that. However, if you fast forward to the fall of 2018, when another vacancy came open on the U.S. Supreme Court, I can't remember why that vacancy came open. Oh, Kennedy resigned. That's right. Kennedy retired in the summer of 2018. And then, of course, Brett Kavanaugh came into focus. Democrats got very, very animated about that, very upset about it, mostly because they said, why are you trying to confirm? You said you don't do that. It was McConnell playing Machiavellian politics. And honestly, I totally supported it because about time we started to win and they started to lose. And then fast forward to 2020, despite McConnell saying in 2016, we don't confirm justices in a presidential year, I think he talked about like unified government. It was some sort of nuance. I always defended it nakedly partisan, being like, look, the country's fallen apart. We're in power. You're not. Thanks for playing. You know, it's just kind of like whatever. But McConnell is right. Where it's, he said, if you have unified government, it does set a precedent to fill the void. When Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away in, I'll never forget, it was October. It was early October, and it was one of the great scenes ever where Trump's doing this rally, and Trump is walking in his kind of alpha male, you know, just kind of pace, and he's got the long jacket, and he comes right up to the press corps, and immediately they say, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. He says, she died? And he then kind of just sits up straight and he goes, she was a wonderful person. And it's like a, like almost straight into it. And that's when you knew he was sharp, I'll tell you what. Because that was one of them. And Elton John's playing in the background. You got all the kind of thematic, cinematic lighting. That's one of the great moments in kind of Supreme Court presidential appointment history, truly, in the history of the country, to have that captured live on tape. And I remember tweeting, I said, of course we know Trump's reaction as soon as Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. And because there was like all these conspiracy theorists being like, oh, Trump is celebrating it. Like, no, actually, we have live footage of it as it happened. Now, the Democrats actually are being smart here, and Republicans better wake up. Democrats realized back in 2018 one of the reasons why Republicans were able to gain seats in the United States Senate back in 2018 by defeating Claire McCaskill and getting Braun elected in Indiana. Who is the incumbent in Indiana? It's irrelevant. He's very forgettable. One of the reasons we were able to win those races. Now, we lost in Montana with John Tester and lost with Joe Manchin in West Virginia, but we also won in Florida with Rick Scott, if I'm not mistaken, against incumbent Bill Nelson, which was a flip, which advanced the United States Senate to go to 53 seats, I think, in the United States Senate at the time. One of the reasons was that Mitch McConnell made the United States Supreme Court a center issue in states like Indiana and Missouri, which brings out issues like abortion and guns. Democrats are trying to replicate this. They know that. Now, whether it's illegal or not, it doesn't matter. Justice Breyer obviously was meeting with the Democrats prior to this. This wasn't just like some sort of epiphany like, hey, January 26, I'm retiring. No, this was coordinated. That's fine. We expect that out of them. I'm not trying to accuse them of anything. This was, of course, coordinated. Schumer and the entire Senate Democrats are now trying to use this as like, hey, Roe versus Wade is about to be repealed. Vote for Democrats this fall or else positions like Justice Breyer are going to remain vacant. Now, I will say the timing of this is awfully suspicious. I don't think the Democrats' timing is really smart. If they really wanted to make an issue out of this, they would do this in like May. He would step down right after the opinions were authored in June. Now, Connor, my question is he not retiring till June? I haven't read that yet. My guess, I've even read, this is me doing it live. If I was the Machiavellian kind of ends justify the means, we're going to find our own morality, we're going to dismiss right and wrong as we know it, we're going to get what we want. If I was that Democrat, I would have Justice Breyer step down on July 1st and trigger a summer Supreme Court fight post Roe versus Wade getting repealed. I don't know what that says. Here's why I think that's going to happen. Breyer's not going to step down in the next couple weeks. They're going to need his vote effective coming into the summer recess session. Supreme Court goes into recess in July. That's me speculating. We're going to fact check if my gut, my instinct, and how well I know the left is. Look, it's a new year and not much has changed. We have inflation. Houses are selling in a week, interest rates are at zero, and our government is still borrowing money while actually printing money. $5 trillion in new money, to be exact. What could go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hits a 10-year low, inflation 6.8%, even higher in certain places, 10%, 12% in other places. Something is not adding up. So what can you do? Well, you can play it safe. Put some of your assets into precious metals, will keep your money away from volatility of the markets, and will let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 of an ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold, and they'll run through the options for keeping your money safe. No pressure, no hassle, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about for once. How refreshing would that be? Call us at 877-646-5347 or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. With us right now is a senator who deserves our praise and our thanks for his courage, for what he has done to platform and to educate the public on really what's going on with the vaccines and treatments and all of the confusion around our public health authorities. And that is Senator Ron Johnson. Senator, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Well, Charlie, thanks for having me on.
I just want to say thank you again, Senator. This panel you had this week was extraordinary. It was courageous. And seriously, from myself personally and our whole audience, it's so refreshing to see a senator really care about the war on early treatments and all of these other kind of issues together. Talk about the panel. Talk about what you learned. And how did the media react?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's the public's reaction that is most heartening. We've had over 1 million views of the full 5-hour event on our Rumble page, over 1 million. So people are hungering for this second opinion, for information. What I hope they're seeing is, first of all, how eminently qualified these doctors, these academicians, these medical researchers are. And you compare their qualifications versus the people in the ivory towers. I call them the COVID gods, you know, the Faucis of the world, the Walensky's, the Collinses, the Woodcocks. And the legacy media and the social media that is censoring this kind of information. So these are eminently qualified people, but first and foremost, they are doctors that have had the courage and compassion to treat COVID patients. Some of them have been infected because of their courage and compassion. They know that early treatment works. And that's what I've been advocating literally since March of 2020. Early treatment, I believe, could have ended this pandemic well before we even had to consider the vaccines. And by the way, I was a big supporter of Operation Warp Speed. I hoped and prayed the vaccine would bring an end to the pandemic, but it didn't. It's not as effective as we hoped it would be. It's not as safe as we hoped it would be. But the other thing, I think anybody viewing that, and if you don't have 5 hours, we've also edited down a 38-minute version of the highlights, so you get a pretty good sense of what I'm talking about. But the American public should understand that our response to COVID could have been far more rational it didn't have to be so divisive. And tragically, the coronavirus did not have to be as deadly as it's been. I don't know how anybody can take a look at 890,000 deaths, the human toll of the economic devastation, what we've done to our children, you know, the loss of learning, the psychological harms, and look at our response and call it a success. I believe it's been a miserable failure, but it's been a miserable failure because we haven't utilized the internet to have a flourishing of ideas, letting doctors be doctors, practice medicine, exchange and share their experiences with other doctors, and hone the treatment techniques. That's not been allowed. These doctors have been vilified. They've been censored. They've been suppressed. They've been terminated. They've been sued. That's been the reward for these doctors saving people's lives. And let me just end on this note. You have to watch Paul Merrick. He's the head of the frontline COVID-19 critical care specialist. He had his hospital privileges revoked. The hospital told him he could no longer use these cheap, generic, relatively, you know, very safe profile drugs to treat his patients. So in the end, when they took that his ability to treat patients away, he still had 7 COVID patients. And all he could do, because this is what the hospital forced him to do, was sit by and watch these 7 patients die. It is heartbreaking to watch that. But I have heard this time and time and time again, the heart-wrenching stories of families whose loved one is in the hospital. They can't see them. They beg the hospitals, try these things. I mean, try them. They are safe. They've been used for decades, billions of doses. Try them. You're not giving my loved one treatment. Just try these. And the hospitals have said, nope. Even when sued, even when under court order, they've said no, and they've just watched people die.
We have too many stories that we've received on our show of that exactly, of loved ones that get trapped in the hospital and they don't give vitamin D booster shots. They do not give azithromycin or ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or any of the potential menu of treatments. And so, Senator, you have been on the early treatment kind of campaign since the very beginning, as you mentioned. Why do you think in the wealthiest society that humanity has ever known, the one of the largest technology like we could ever not ever imagine, why is it that we got this so wrong? How are we supposed to process that our public health officials almost, let's just say, intentionally rejected early treatments? And like you said, we're nearing 1 million people dead. Who knows how many of those could have been prevented?
Well, there's no innocent explanation. I've got a couple, rational explanations. One is, the Fauci of the world were so singularly focused on vaccines, just exactly the way he was with the AIDS epidemic. You know, he denied Bactrim. You know, tens of thousands of AIDS patients died because he wouldn't recommend something that would cure their pneumonia. So he's done the exact same thing with COVID. So if you want to get an emergency use on an experimental vaccine, it's very difficult to do that if you have an effective therapy. Is that part of the reason? Let's face it, the federal health agencies have been captured by Big Pharma. I think they're doing their bidding as well. So we spent billions of dollars on these vaccines, but the only drugs that the federal health care agencies have approved are expensive on-patent drugs brought to you by Big Pharma. They have so tilted the playing field in favor of Big Pharma novel expensive drugs, because Big Pharma is the only one that can afford random controlled trials. And that's, of course, what Fauci demands. Even though we have, literally dozens of studies that show the effectiveness of things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, plus hundreds of anecdotal stories that these things work, but it's all been ignored. It's been suppressed. It's been sabotaged. Early treatment has been sabotaged. But for example, the cheapest drug that's been recommended is now Paxlovid, about $500 a course. Molnupiravir, which causes the virus to mutate. Geez, what could go wrong with that? It's about $700. Remdesivir, which inhibits viral replication, might be effective early in the treatment. Once you get to the hospital, you're treating a different set of symptoms, a different disease. That's over $3,000 a course. ivermectin, literally pennies a pill. Same with hydroxychloroquine. And by the way, the safety profile, you know, I put my chart together. It's all data from the CDC, FDA. It gets censored, but it shows over 26 years, ivermectin has about 15 deaths on average reported to the FAERS system, the FDA's version. Hydroxychloroquine, 69 deaths. The standard seasonal flu vaccine, about 77 deaths reported through VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. We are over 22,000 deaths reported in association with the vaccines. Now, I agree. That doesn't prove causation, but 30% of those deaths, Charlie, have occurred on day 0, 1, or 2. I'm alarmed by that. I'm concerned about that. I think it needs to be investigated, but the Fauci of the world are just blowing it all off. The Biden administration, there's nothing to see here. And of course, we've heard story after story. I mean, all these athletes dropping dead on the field, but we're supposed to ignore that. You know, nothing happening here, nothing to see. This is a travesty. This is a scandal.
It's totally a scandal. And I just can't say thank you enough, Senator, because you're not, there's not a lot of people saying this, honestly, in Congress. I mean, I hate to politicize this. I remember when Democrats used to hate Big Pharma. You do too. You ran against someone successfully, I think, twice. Russ Feingold used to make a big deal out of that back in the day. You might remember that, oh, the pharmaceutical companies. I grew up in northern Illinois, not far from Wisconsin. You know the type of liberal I'm talking about where they just kind of hate all big institutions. Democrats' constituents are dying too. Why is it that there is just silence amongst your colleagues and some Republican colleagues as well when it comes to this issue?
Well, because they've seen how I've been treated in the media. You know, I've withstood a year's worth of just relentless, almost daily attacks. You know, calling me an anti-vaxxer, which I am not. You know, again, I was a big supporter of Operation Warp Speed. I'm the champion of right to try, allowing people the freedom to choose and to use a drug that's not fully FDA approved. Well, that's what these vaccines are. So I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I've got every vaccine except for this one because I had COVID. And now, of course, it's being proven that natural immunity is effective and it's enduring. But no, I mean, my colleagues look at me and they look at me as roadkill. I mean, they don't want to have that same type of treatment. So I understand that. I mean, let's face it. I've been accused of being a racist. And then I've been accused of being an anti-vaxxer. I mean, there can't be two worse pejoratives to be used against somebody. And so they see I'm relentlessly accused of being both, and they don't want to be termed an anti-vaxxer. So they're willing to, I guess, look away, not even really explore this, just hope that the vaccine is effective and as safe as we all hoped and prayed it would be. You know, let's face it, they voted for the funding of it. They've been recommending it. You know, that's one of our biggest problems, Charlie, of getting the truth out is nobody wants to admit they're wrong. The general public doesn't want to admit they were wrong in putting their faith in Fauci. And these federal health agencies, doctors who've recommended vaccines, they don't want to admit that maybe these vaccines have killed people or paralyzed them or had a serious adverse event. Fauci's of the world, the people in the health agencies, they will never admit they're wrong. And tell you what, even most importantly, is the media who's been complicit in all this, the big tech giants, social media, that have censored early treatment. The body count's now approaching 900,000 people. If it is proven that these cheap, generic, widely available drugs are effective, understand the consequences, how severe they will be to those people that have sabotaged the use. So they not only can't afford to be proven wrong, Charlie, they have the power. They are the media. They are the social media. They are the big tech giants. They have the power to make it very difficult to ever prove they're wrong. So they'll keep shifting their story. They'll start claiming, oh, we never said that. Remember how it shifted? The vaccines were pretty well sold that if you take a vaccine, 95% of you will not get COVID. I know they didn't exactly say that, but that's the impression they left with us all. Now that it's proven that the vaccines aren't preventing infection, they're not preventing transmission, now their story is, well, oh, no, all we ever said is it reduces severity of the disease. So they'll shift their story to make sure they're never proven wrong. They will never accept responsibility. It's going to be very difficult to hold them accountable.
Well, I agree. And I want our audience to support you. And I don't like push politicians' websites very often, honestly, but you're not a politician. You're a business guy that got into this for the right reasons. It's Ron Johnson for Senate.com. Do I have the right website? Is that right?
That's correct. And Charlie, I'm going to need that help before I even decided to run. And my inclination was not to do this. Okay. I really wanted to serve that second term and go home quietly to a private life. Okay. But I can't stop fighting for freedom.
Yes.
But before I even decided, they'd already spent $9 million. Democrats spent $9 million. And then, of course, their communication apparatus, which is the legacy media and the social media, relentlessly attacked me for the full year. The week I announced, another $2 million announced of ad spending against me. So these campaigns are way too long. They're grotesquely expensive. I hate that. But I'm going to need the support at Ron Johnson for Senate.com.
It's rare. In fact, there's really no one except maybe Rand Paul that has actually talked about this like Ron Johnson. And Wisconsin's really important, everybody. So help out Senator Johnson. Look, a lot of people are worried right now, and you should be. There's inflation. There's crime everywhere. And people are talking about a major economic collapse. I'm worried about it. I'm not saying it's going to happen for sure, but I'm definitely worried about it. Are you prepared for the worst? What are you going to do if there's an EMP? Do you know what an EMP is? Google it. Electromagnetic pulse. No electricity. Stuck at home. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. 9 meals. And guess what? After 6 meals, people start to get really anxious. They might start coming to your home looking for food. Are you prepared? Do you have the emergency food you can rely on no matter what happens or when? Look, I am an unapologetic prepper. People can make fun of it. They scoff at it. My family will be well fed when things fall apart. I urge you right now to get the 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. They're the nation's largest emergency food company. They've served millions of your fellow Americans over the last 15 years. And they have 48,000 4-star and 5-star reviews from satisfied customers. I got their product stashed away next to my ammunition and my gold. Right now, save $50 on their 4-week emergency food kit, which gives you breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks totaling over 2,000 calories a day. The food stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. It'll be there when you need it. You know, people laugh at preppers. Have you read 20th century history? Do you know what happened in Cambodia, the Soviet Union, Italy, Germany, China? Yeah, things fall apart. Yes, that is a book that many 7th graders read, but also things do fall apart. Second law of thermodynamics, the inevitable law of decay. Are you prepared? Go to preparewithkirk.com. That's preparewithkirk.com. Take out your phone. Go to preparewithkirk.com right now and save $50 per kit per person. Act now and your order will ship quickly and arrive discreetly at your door in unmarked boxes. That's preparewithkirk.com. Preparewithkirk.com. Senator, I want to ask you, there's a lot of things I want to get into, but I want to ask you, kind of, where do you think, if the Republicans take back the Senate, what can be done from a committee standpoint to actually start to formalize some of these questions that you've been asking? Subpoenas, getting to the bottom of all of this.
Well, I'm continuing to investigate right now. I'm the ranking member on the Permanent Subcommittee Investigations. When we, you know, we request all kinds of information, the agencies, the executive branch really thumbs its nose at congressional oversight. We don't have enforcement power. But when the FOIA requests produced the 4,000 plus pages of Anthony Fauci's emails, heavily redacted, Congress is not subject to those redactions. So we immediately sent a request. And I'll say the chairman of our subcommittee, Senator Ossoff, has been cooperative. He's put pressure on HHS to allow us to see under those redactions, but they're not being transparent. They're not handing us over 4,000 pages unredacted. They're allowing us to go into a room, see the emails unredacted in camera. You know, we can't take copies. We can just take notes. So that's been a laborious process. Obviously, if we get the majority, I'll have subpoena power and we'll be able to increase the heat. But in the end, Charlie, what is required for congressional oversight? Because we don't have enforcement power. I mean, even if we issue subpoenas, it's hard to enforce the subpoenas. I subpoenaed the FBI. They slow walked it. I got a mere fraction of what I was looking for, and obviously didn't get the good stuff. It requires public pressure. Mm. And that's why I'm very transparent in my oversight, in my investigations. I try and get the public interested. I try and get the news media interested to highlight really the outrage that is occurring within our federal bureaucracy, how they feel they're completely unaccountable to the American public, which means they're completely unaccountable to congressional oversight. We are the representatives of the people.
Amen. So we have 83-year-old Justice Breyer is retiring, kind of setting up a summer Supreme Court fight. It seems as if they're trying to motivate their base. What's your take on this?
Well, let me first say I hope it's not a health-related issue. I have respect for Justice Breyer. He oftentimes has some pretty rational thoughts on things, so I appreciate that fact. You know, obviously, he's part of the liberal bloc that votes consistently with the liberals, but not 100% of the time. So, you know, my guess, it's his decision. Might be because he succumbed to pressure. Looking ahead, understand that Democrats may not be able to retain a majority in the United States Senate, so it might be difficult to confirm under Republican control a more radically left justice, which is what I fear will happen with Joe Biden. I mean, his appointments, his appointees, his nominees for almost every office have come from the radical left.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I'm afraid that's who President Biden will replace Justice Breyer, who, again, is reliably left, but I wouldn't call him a radical leftist.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that there's going to be a Supreme Court fight. We'll see kind of where that kind of goes from there. And Joe Biden, unfortunately, has put many radicals one after the other. OK, we have 1 minute remaining. Just kind of reinforce the point. Wisconsin, battleground state, coming into November. You don't like these elections any more than, you know, we do. But I want to just commend you. You very easily could have stepped down and put a vacuum and maybe would have made it a 50-50 seat. You're well-loved in Wisconsin. How could people help you at ronjohnsonforsenate.com?
Well, they can sign on and they can donate. And they can tell their friends, their family, neighbors about it as well and understand how crucial this seat is. In the end, there are all kinds of issues. Some of them divide us as conservatives. We can't let them divide us. We need to be unified because, Charlie, this is a fight for freedom. Mm-hmm. This has been my rallying cry. It's a fight for freedom. It's nobody else's fight. It's our fight. It's a fight we absolutely have to win. That's why I'm running for the seat again. As much as I'd like to just walk away from it, I can't. None of us can. I'm going to need your help. RonJohnsonForSenate.com.
RonJohnsonForSenate.com. Senator, we've known each other for years. I remember you spoke at a Turning Point USA event back in 2013 at UW-Madison, and you've always been so good to us. But your courage, your clarity, and your willingness to take on the pharmaceutical industrial complex, it really is something that is rare and is worthy of note. And we're behind you 100%, truly. So thank you for that, and thanks for joining us today.
Stay well.
Thanks. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.